Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Yes, and keep Pastor Frank in prayer, just as Pastor Laura Lee said. And so we're going to minister today a little differently. We are going to go into the Word. I'm going to start with 2 Timothy 3. We're going to go with verses 1 to 15, but I'm going to skip some of those because there are some that are highlighted from the Lord. Pastor Frank called last night about, I don't think it was about 5:30, and I just let it rest all night and got up early this morning and just was really praying and asking the Lord, and I got two scriptures from the Lord. The first one was this, which is 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 15, and then the other one was Luke 19, 13, I believe. So we'll go to both of those scriptures. And I pray the way that the Lord has deposited this within me, that it's going to come forth in the way that he has chosen for it to come forth. So, Father, I just ask that you would touch my heart, touch my mouth, touch my voice. Lord, let the words that you have chosen, let them come out. Let them be evident, Father, by your Spirit. Father, let us have ears to hear, let us have eyes to see, hearts to receive, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here, and we thank you that you are doing a great work, and Lord, we follow you today, Lord. Your words, your mind, your heart, your release, your healing, your deliverance, in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 15, but like I said, I'm only going to choose some of those scriptures. And the scripture tells us, but I know this, this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, but I know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power. Paul goes on to say, and from such people turn away. Paul goes on to exhort Timothy. He said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch. Paul is sharing with him that I've been an example to you. You're looking at the world, and that is going on inside the world and outside in the world. But take your eyes off of that, because we've already spoken about that in Scripture. And put your eyes on me as I represent Christ. Put your eyes away from those things and place them on the godly things that are still happening and that are still being instituted within my life, the lives of those that are walking with the Lord, and even into your own life. In other words, Paul's saying, take the focus off of and put it on. And he goes on to say, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So no matter what we're going through and no matter what Paul endured, which we know we don't even endure anything compared to what Paul endured, but God delivered him out of them all. The same stands for us today. We have deliverance from the Lord. When we think about deliverance, we think, a lot of people just think about deliverance where demons are coming out and people are coughing up, and those are very true things that do happen. But how about God delivers us from situations? How about God delivers us from pain? How about God delivers us from sickness? How about God delivers our children, our grandchildren? How about God delivers us from mental illness? How about He delivers us from all of those things that the enemy tries to put upon us? He is our deliverer. He is the Lord, the one who delivers. His hand is not short that it cannot save and deliver and heal. So He said, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yet all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We are going to suffer persecution, but the Lord is going to deliver us from all of it. And we need to trust Him for that. Now, what is the scripture? I'm going to go to verse 15. And he's exhorting Timothy, and he's saying to him, and from childhood you have known the scriptures. Okay, well, some of us haven't known the scriptures from childhood. But some of us have. But you know, we know the scriptures, that's the key, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying that the Word of God contains the power of God. It is the Word that is spoken in eternity that is released into even the now and generations to come, that is able to impart the faith, and we walk in power and authority because of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So let's go through some things here. So what are we to do? What are we to do in these times? What directives are ours to follow? There are many voices in the land today, and we must know the voice of the Lord and be led by the Holy Spirit. The scripture tells us that my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. And some translations say, my sheep know my voice. Because when we hear, there's a second part to that. Are we hearing? Okay, we hear. But are we listening? You see, listening is partnered with obedience. So if we hear the word, we have to be a doer of the word. We have to follow the word. So God requires us. He said, my sheep know my voice. And we know how we know his voice, because we know those that we spend time with, we know and recognize their voice. Blatant sin, rebellion, disobedience. It's gone on for ages, but it is more visible today than it ever was. Is it because of TV? Is it social media? It's because, not only that, we can walk into a store and sense it. We can walk into a grocery store, Walmart. We can walk anywhere, and we will discern it. We will hear it. We will feel it. We will sense it. It's more prevalent today and obvious and visible today than it ever was. And the tactics, listen to me, of the enemy are increasing. However, here's the good news. We have all power, dominion, and authority given to us by the Lord that is to combat these strategies and attacks. God has given us everything that we need in order to overcome. But our part is to tap into that overcoming. Our part is to know and to recognize. Our part is to be vigilant. Doesn't the scripture tells us, be vigilant because the devil is on the loose and he's trying to see who he can trip up. But we know that we have the greater one. Greater is he who is within us than he who is within the world. And the other thing is, no matter what strategy, God is greater and gives us the strategy to overcome all things. He gives us the strategy. Have you ever woken up in the morning and just had this something in your spirit that you knew you just had to pray about? You know you have, and you just had a burden about it, and you said, I need to pray about this. Well, that is the Holy Spirit giving us a strategy in advance to combat what the enemy or even the flesh or even the world, because those are our enemies, the enemy, the flesh, and the world. He has given us the authority and quickened us in our spirits for that overcoming. We are not we are going to be. We are in the Lord's eyes. Our callings, we already are prepared to prepare the way. The voice has gone forth from this house to prepare the way. This is the apostles' mandate from the Lord to this house. The vision given the man of God to impart to this house, to impart to those that are in this house. What and who makes up this house? We are vessels of honor. We are those who God has written his laws upon our hearts. We are an epistle read by men. We're called and we're chosen. I want you to say, I'm called and I'm chosen. I'm a living epistle to be known and read by all. Beloved, that's his presence, his power, his anointing. And it will be evident to those walking in darkness that the light of the world, by the power of Holy Spirit, who raised Christ from the dead, will manifest his salvation, his deliverance, his healing, his glory through the body of Christ to a world who is in need. All the while, we are to be a voice of the Lord in preparing the way for his coming. Now, we know that judgment begins in the house of God, and we know that the Lord is preparing his bride. We are in the sense of eternity prepared, but many, there's a remnant. And then there are others that are, God has to still do. He's calling us to the altar. He's calling us to holiness. He is taking out his own sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and dealing with those things that need to be dealt with that people would seem to think are okay in the house of God. We don't even need to talk about some of the things that have been released within the last week. I won't even honor it or disgrace this house to talk about it. Scripture says in 1 Peter 4:17 that judgment begins in the house of God. It says, for the time has arrived for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will it be? The end of those who do not respect and believe or obey the gospel. Despite all of this, I got good news. Despite all of it, we have instruction from the Lord. Now notice, I want you to connect these dots, and connect them as I was up very early in the morning and the Holy Spirit was connecting them. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We discussed that scripture, right? And Luke 19:13, despite all of this, here is God's instruction to us. Occupy until I come. He's saying no matter what's going on, he's charging us to occupy. Occupy no matter what's happening until he comes. That's all a part of preparing the way. Luke 19:13, but the Lord bids you, he bids us to come and occupy until he comes. Now I'm going to stretch the scripture and within bounds, I'm going to stretch it because I know that this particular scripture, the Lord is dealing with talents and he's dealing with funds and the teachers in the group, just give me a little bit of grace, okay? Because the teachers like to break it all down and pull you in about what word didn't go where. So you just got to give me some grace here. I'm developing it in the prophetic, okay? So he said, occupy until I come. By that, he means that we are to do his work in the earth, okay? Occupy, like one who continually looks for his return. Okay, we're about our business, our Father's business, but our eyes are always looking for, is he coming? Where is he? What's happening in Scripture? What's happening in the body of Christ? What's happening in the world that points to him coming? But yet, even though there are perilous times, we have power and authority and dominion to stand and occupy. We're not to subjugate. We're not to abdicate. We're to occupy. And unfortunately, what we have seen happening in the world and in its system is that we have abdicated. We have only a few voices have gone to try to make a difference. You know, they put a stamp upon the Constitution and our rights. We can't mix the church with the state. However, our Constitution was written by Christians, by those that love God, by those that put into place everything. But do you see how it all has twisted? But we as the church still have a voice. Now that voice can be in the prayer closet. That voice can be in Senate. That voice can be in schools. But we have to use our voice. Nothing is released into the earth or into the prophetic or into that realm to bring about change unless the body of Christ opens their mouth and uses their voice. We have to use our voice. By that he means that we are to do his work and we're to look for his coming. That we're to be like a faithful servant who knows not what the hour my master is coming, but listen, but keeps all things in readiness and is always prepared. Always prepared. You know what that means also? That means that we should have short lists and not walk with unforgiveness, not walk with regrets, not walk in disobedience. That we should have short lists. And if there's offenses, then we need to deal with the offenses. And if there's something going on, then we need to make it right. And you know, I have a quick story that I'll give you. You know, I had an issue with our oldest daughter, and she was very rebellious in her young days, 16, 17, and something happened, and my husband said, you know, no, she called me in the middle of the night, and I listened to her, and when she was all done and everything, I said, honey, please forgive me. Just please forgive me. I want you to know it really wasn't my fault. My husband woke up next to me and he said, why are you asking her, why are you saying you're sorry? I said, because it has to end. It has to end. And what does the Bible tell us? That if you know someone has an offense with you, then you need to go and you need to ask for forgiveness. It's not if somebody hurt us, and we need to be the first to move to bring healing and restoration. And so I say that in the fact that when the Lord's doing a work in the house, he's doing a work in the house. And that's this house too. And if something continues to surface out of us, then we need to take it to the Lord and examine it and say, Lord, help me. Help me to overcome this. Help me to not do this. Help me to release forgiveness as you have forgiven me. Help me to let love cover a multitude. Because there's only one scripture. It says love never fails. So what does it mean? So be in readiness. But what is occupying the Hebrew? Well, I did some Greek and Hebrew study about 4 o'clock this morning. And Lord, praise God for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So the Hebrew is a verb, okay, for occupy. Now, we know from English class a verb is action, right? It's an action word. So the Hebrew word for occupy is conquer and take. It's not sit and wait. It's conquer and take, okay? Now, occupied and occupying also means to take up or fill up space and time, okay? So what does that mean? That means when we're occupying, this is our dominion. This is our authority. And the more that we move with the kingdom of God, we move and we are taking authority. We are occupying the places that God has given us. Everywhere the sole of your foot goes belongs to the Lord. Kingdom principle. So we need to know that when we're walking into a place, we may not necessarily know the place. When I'm talking place, I'm not just talking a building. I'm talking a place in the spirit. We need to know that when we're in worship, we're in warfare, we're walking forward and taking back our authority, we're taking dominion. We need to know that that is the place. So we have authority there, and we're taking it back. Another word, and Apostle Frank has used this numerous times, and I didn't have time to really look it up, but the other Greek word for occupy, it means to hijack. Hijack. How many times have we heard him say, just hijack my faith. Just hijack it. Just go ahead. Get there and occupy. So I was looking at that, and I thought, Lord, I'm going to connect that somehow, but then the Lord moved me on to some other ones. So, again, hijack. It means being active, being a doer of the things. Listen, the assignments pertaining to the kingdom. In other words, it means to carry on in business, which is kingdom affairs. So, in a way, teachers, the business part came in, to carry on with kingdom affairs. I thought this was very interesting when I studied this. As you could tell, it's more teaching than preaching today, but it's okay. It's good. It's good. So, pragmatic. Have you ever wondered what that word meant? Like, I thought pragmatic, I don't know. I just thought it meant like really like laid back, or I never really looked at it. But in scripture, this word occupy, it comes from a Greek word, and I'm not going to try to say it to you. You can look it up. But the Greek word means a necessary matter, properly. It meant to exchange trading to get gain. Okay, so in other words, I'm going to take authority over that because we're going to gain that for the kingdom. One thing, it also means to bear much fruit. And I thought that was interesting because we have to move in order to plant, And when we plant, we have to tend to what was planted. And if we tend to what was planted in kingdom, I'm talking kingdom, then it's going to not be fruitless. It's actually going to produce, because we're not going to be playing it safe. We're not playing it safe. We're going to be those that take back what the enemy stole. It also means turning something over. Listen to this. Turning something over to a good account. Taking it out of that account and turning it over to a good account. To administrate. Thank you very much, Rob. To manage profitably the capital which is at your disposal. In other words, all of the riches of heaven have been given to us. When we think of riches, most people think of finances. I think of spiritual riches, because spiritual riches do not diminish unless we put them on a shelf and we don't want to use them. Then they're going to diminish, because we're not going to be skilled in using the gifts that God has given us. But if we use the gifts that God has given us, then we are going to be able to move in that very realm of those assignments, and we are going to be able to capitalize on those things that God has given us in the spirit realm for the kingdom. We'll close down on pragmatic. One more definition. The word pragmatic, which we're talking about pragmatic because we're talking about occupying. I looked in Webster's dictionary, and pragmatic does come from the Greek word and root word pragma. Pragmatic means also to be practical. It means usable, useful. Listen to this. Designed for use. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus' advice to those who are his servants is simple. Us, to us. Occupy and stay busy till I come. Do what you are to do and fulfill your assignments. He has given us a charge in that very scripture. And it's only listed once. Occupy is listed once in the Greek, and it's listed also once, I believe, in Corinthians. So it's listed in Luke once and in Corinthians once. And we've all been given assignments. And we all have been given those assignments to walk through them victoriously. Everyone is different. Every one of us is different. But that's the blessing of the body of Christ. We can have the same gifts, and they operate differently. And God sends us in different places to use those gifts. We can have that mantle that we're walking in, and God pours more into it. Because if we're still walking in the same realm of understanding and wisdom and revelation that we were walking in when we first came to the Lord, then we have to stretch our mantle. It has to be stretched. Mantled. I want to ask the ones that I called upon earlier to come up and get in position. We're going to do a prophetic illustration. How many are okay with that? A little bit different. We're going to do a prophetic illustration. I want you to come up. I want you to be, you can stay down there if you want, or you could come up here. It's up to you. I want them to have the view of what's going on here. Okay. Mantled. You know, Apostle Frank is talking about prepare the way. We are those that are preparing the way. He also talked about worshipers, warriors, and watchmen. And in preparing the way, all of the messages that we're receiving and everything that's coming through this house is giving us the foundation, and he's building upon the foundation of what it really means to prepare the way. He's given us the tools in our toolbox, the word, the anointing, all of that is flowing through this house. And so I felt from the Lord to move in this as a prophetic illustration of what God is doing, and that when he is moving us into those realms, we are not moving through without the covering of the Lord and the covering of the gifts of God that he has given us. So mantled, let me first say to you, you see how they're covered. We're using that as an example. Mantled in the Bible, the prophet Elijah released a mantle over his disciple Elisha. He was prophetically calling him into the assignment. A mantle is used to protect, but it also represents empowerment. When we receive a mantle from the Lord, everyone has one. It represents God giving us empowerment and represents that he is giving us an assignment. A mantle, beloved, is a spiritual garment. It gives authority. It identifies. It releases anointing and power. It's recognized by all spiritual forces, not just evil forces. It's recognized in the heavenlies by heavenly forces. Our specific and personal covering is recognized. That's why we walk in it personally. That's why we've heard even Apostle Frank say, which is the truth and which is released, that Elijah did not drop his mantle and give it to Elisha. There was a spiritual impartation that he received, but Elijah went to heaven with his mantle. When the Lord took him, the Lord took him. And a garment may have fallen, but what was spiritual was released. Our specific and personal covering. That's why we walk in it personally, and the Lord adds to it as we walk into it. As we're walking, and it accompanies us to heaven because it's assigned to us. So the Lord adds. He adds to it. He continues to deposit into it, and he continues to stretch it. He stretches it, and even those things that we may not have fully understood, he deposits inside so that revelation will come forth. So in preparation of understanding this, what are we? We are preparers of the way. Apostle Frank taught on worshipers, warriors, and watchmen. So worshipers, how do you worship? You raise your hands in the air. And you worship the Lord, you bow, you wave, there's wave offerings. We're worshipers, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. We are worshiping. What is worship? We are warriors. Come on, warriors. We're warriors. We take our stand and we use our sword and we speak the word. We declare the word and we see the things in the word happening as we're declaring them before the gates of hell. And we take back the territory that God has given. And we're watchmen. How many are watchmen? Watching what? The enemy coming, but also watching for the Lord to come. It's not always the negative. It's not always the down. It's, listen, my eyes are peered. Are your eyes peered? Are you like those that are standing? And when Habakkuk took his place upon the wall and he had his eyes peered, he said, I will stand and take my watch and I will hear what the Lord will say to me. Warriors. Worshippers, warriors, and watchmen, eyes focused, watching for what is coming and watching for the Lord. Worship is a weapon, but it's also an exaltation to the Lord. Because when we sing and we begin to praise His name, we see that the Lord sets encampments and He hears our praises, and it comes before Him, and things begin to shift in the atmosphere because worship is a weapon. We're a warrior because we're prepared for spiritual battles and prepared to defend our faith. And we are defended by Him. We talked about earlier, and Sonny and I don't talk, but Psalm 91. Beloved, Psalm 91. You see, this is all a part of preparing the way, because we are those that are preparing the way, but we ourselves have to take ourselves and put us in that realm of the Spirit where nothing else matters, where we know that we have to go to work, we know we have to provide, we know we have to clean the house, we know we have to take care of the kids, we know that we have to do certain things. But with that in mind, it's always walking in the deposit of the anointing of God that He has given us to be able to prepare the way with the spiritual giftings, callings that He has placed within us. None of us is better than anyone else. If my thumb was hurting and I was having a hard time, you know what? It was pulling in here, and I couldn't open a jar. And you know what? When I was trying to open that, it probably isn't a great revelation to you, but the Spirit of the Lord was like, you see how you need that thumb? You see how you need that thumb? Because I couldn't open the jar, because I couldn't get my thumb to work because it hurt. So those that are up here, abiding in the presence, the secret place, you know who you are in the secret place. How do you abide in the secret place? How do you cover yourselves? Cover yourselves in the secret place. The secret place of His presence. Safety of abiding in the secret presence place of the Lord. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Mantled, it is symbolic, but it is a sign into the spiritual world. It's indicating that we're being wrapped in God's authority. We are wrapped in His authority. We are graced. Leanne, we're graced. We're graced. It's not something we earned. We're graced. We're empowered with His presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. What is received in the secret place? Instruction, insight, power, comfort, strength, strategies, tools, impartations, prophecy, direction, wisdom, all we need as we fellowship in intimacy with Him is in the secret place. And He says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. Thank you, beloved. You're welcome to stay, but thank you. example prophetically of what God has given us. He has mantled us, and how many know in this house, even Jeff, God is adding to the mantles. He's adding revelation. He's adding favor. He's adding power. You say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and we know that we have all power, but you know, sometimes we don't even tap into that power. We don't ask, we just automatically move without asking. And being in the presence of the Lord, being in the presence, in the secret place, to receive the download of God is a place of power, love, strength. I have where I was going to minister on dominion and power and authority, and how about I will do that as a continuation. I'm just going to say a few things on it. Dominion is the right to dominate and to possess absolute control over the entire earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are to what? Occupy until he comes. So no matter what's going on, we're to take our place. We're to take our position. We're to take our assignment. We're to take the territory. If we can't literally go somewhere to do it, we can go there in prayer. We can go there in prayer. And when we go there in prayer and declarations and decrees, then God is going to hear and answer. And we're going to see the shift moving. I'm going to save the dominion, authority, and power for another time. I'm going to say one more thing. While God's power is manifest through the Holy Spirit, it is the authority of Christ that is the ability and authorization to use it. He gave us that authority. The Holy Spirit is here. Remember last week, Apostle Frank said, why did the Holy Spirit come? Why did Jesus go so the Holy Spirit could come? There it is. Jesus gave us the authority through the power of the Holy Spirit and the work. Going to have a special closing that it is going to come, but we're going to right now. I'm going to seal this, and we're going to have and receive the offering, but we're going to stay in this whole worship because there's a special impartation and activation that God wants to do for each and every one in here. Each and every one. Father, right now, Lord, I just thank you. Worship and praise you, Father. Can we just close our eyes and just, as if we were in the secret place, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself in a way and in ways that have not yet been revealed to each one of us, Lord. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Open our eyes to see what it is we're supposed to see. Amen, Pastor Jeff. Open our eyes to see what it is we need to see. Deposit in our spirits, Lord, the revelation that we've not yet had. And Lord, would you give us the hunger to pursue? Hunger to pursue and to not allow anything to hinder that pursuit of you. Let it be a deep work, as deep calls to deep. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. We're going to receive the offering, and then we're going to have an altar call, a specific altar call.
As they pass out the envelopes, begin to think about what you want and need from the Lord, and what he requires from us as a sacrifice. We sacrifice our flesh, we sacrifice our wants and our desires, our passions for him. But we also make sacrifices of our offering, giving back to Him what He's gave from us. But we do that joyously. It's not something that should be a burden. If it's a burden to you, begin to ask the Lord for those opportunities to have seed that's saturated in joy that you can offer back to Him. Let's give Him something to work with. Elijah required from the widow woman the last of her meal, the last of her oil. Make me a piece of bread. Without it, it was the last meal for her and her son. They were going to eat it and die. And he said, no, make me bread. Offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And then go find as many empty vessels as you can and watch me fill them. If you have a need today, sow something, sow a seed that helps you meet that need. This is solid ground. This is kingdom ground. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, be careful where you sow your money. Be careful where you put it. I agree. Be careful where what we fund, what we make offerings to. Here, we're planting it in kingdom ground. Here, it's reaching nations. It's winning souls. It's expanding the kingdom of God. We got a couple ways to give. You can give at www.touchheaven.com. You can text to give at 330-845-6005. You can mail a check in to 10 Skyline Drive, Canfield, Ohio, 44406. And pretty soon there'll be even more ways to give. We don't give to receive, but when we give, we receive. From the King of Kings, from the Lord of Lords, from He who created everything, from nothing. Now when we give Him something to work with, how much more can He do? How many souls can be touched? How many nations can be reached? How far can the gospel go? If you're online, hold your seed in your hand or determine the seed that you're going to send in later as we pray. Father, we thank You for those who could and couldn't give equally, that they'd receive the bounty of this harvest, the bounty that comes from this seed. Lord, we know every seed in Your kingdom waits for its opportunity to manifest as a harvest. So we call forth a harvest of those that have planted seeds years and decades, those generations ago that on our behalves planted seed and sowed, believing that Your word goes out and never comes back void, because it doesn't. We thank You for it, Lord. Bless those who could and couldn't give. Bless this to reach the nations, to shine a bright light, to bring healing and wholeness, to break bondages, to bust addiction. We thank You for what You're going to do with this little seed sown in Canfield, and what You can do with the little increases exponentially in the kingdom of God. Bless all those who gave, Lord. Touch them, bless them, meet them at their need. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to move on to I want to thank everybody that's been online. I pray that you've been receiving what the Lord has, and we bless you in the name of the Lord, and thank you for your love and your support, and we love you, and we pray for you, and we're honored that you choose this to be your house. We're going to move in.